This is my first Mass here this year, 2023. So I want to give thanks to the Lord for being able to come back to this holy place. It's always like coming home. Your first time here too, in years, sure. Well, this is part of my condition. You know, I was supposed to be here earlier this week, and the Lord had other plans for me, and he allowed me to get knocked down by the COVID virus, and so I have trouble keeping things in my head. I want to reflect, though, on these readings. I've been saying this, actually, ever since I got sick. What a great thing it is that the liturgy provides this consistency. So even if my brain doesn't work, the church keeps going. I don't know if we ourselves, because any one of us on any day could lose our way, the church does not lose her way. The liturgy does not lose its way. There's always a consistent, solid, dependable path to follow, and that's given us by the liturgy. So that's why I want to reflect on the scriptures as usual. That's part of the charism of Anuin. Well, we have today the presentation to Moses on Mount Sinai of the Ten Commandments. So this is not just an ordinary reading. This is one of the building blocks of our whole faith, of our whole religious tradition, of the whole Judeo-Christian tradition. I mean, Western civilization has been profoundly influenced by this gift of the Ten Commandments. And then in the Gospel, we have Jesus' own explanation of the parable of the sower. We heard that parable a couple days ago, and now he gives his explanation privately to his disciples. About the Ten Commandments, sometimes, because the Ten Commandments have such a huge place in Western culture, it's as if that was the whole purpose. People get the impression, well, that's all God is a guy who gives rules to people. Which is a distortion, of course. I mean, God is not, his whole life isn't built up on telling us what to do, or what not to do. That's people's impression of God, unfortunately. The Ten Commandments were given to Moses on the mountain, and remember, this was not Moses' first encounter with God, or even his most significant encounter with God. It was one of the key things that God gave him the Ten Commandments. But the first encounter with God, we read about this last week, was when he was just wandering through the desert with his flock, and he sees the burning bush, and he says, oh, what's this all about? And he goes to see the bush. Remember that story? And so that was not God saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It was Moses, you're standing on holy ground, and you know that whole encounter. Moses at one point says, well, who am I supposed to say sent me to the Pharaoh? And God revealed himself to Moses. I am who am. Much more profound and fundamental encounter with God than this one. But you don't see, you know, statues on the street corner of the burning bush. You see statues of the Ten Commandments, the two tablets, because that's like the concrete demand of the moral law. Well, we used to have statues of the Ten Commandments for a while. I don't know what's going on in the United States, but for a while, people were tearing down those tablets. Is that still happening? People were smashing the tablets, you know, as if that was going to set us free from the demands of the Ten Commandments. We're funny people. We think that if we don't have an image of the Ten Commandments in our state capitol or on the corner of our, you know, park, that will somehow not be obliged to honor God and honor life and honor marriage. I mean, as if that's going to change anything. No. The Ten Commandments are more than just on tablets. In fact, they are written in human nature. This is what is often referred to as the natural moral law. The natural moral law, not all the ten, but nine of the ten are part of natural moral law. It's part of what we know simply by being human is the right way to live and what violates the right way to live. What we can't not know, sometimes the philosophers will say, what we can't not know, you can't not know that you have to honor your parents. That's what we know naturally. We can't not know that we shouldn't kill people. No one has to tell us that. It's in us. Respect marriage, no adultery. Respect people's property. Don't live in desire of what doesn't belong to you. Don't lie. Don't steal. I mean, who has to tell us that? Moses didn't get, when he got this from God, he didn't say, oh, I've never heard of such a thing. What an enlightenment. It was not like that. Everybody knew that. The one thing that's unique to the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath day, which is not in the natural moral law. There's nothing in nature that says every seventh day you're supposed to take a break. But it's certainly a gift from God to tell us to take a break every seventh day and make sure that God is at the center of our life. But all the other commandments, we already know them. This is why it's so ironic that in modern culture, there is this idea of resisting the Ten Commandments. I remember a celebrity, this is some years ago now, boasting that he had broken all Ten Commandments. Maybe he's not the only one, but this guy comes to mind, which, you know, people thought, oh, what a daring fellow. Well, really, he revealed he had a moral life of a third grader. I mean, that's the way third graders think, oh, I got away with, I stole something and no one caught me. Well, great. You're a moral pygmy if you're a shrimp. If that's the way you think about moral law, an imposition that you're trying to escape all the time. Anyway, this idea, though, in modern times especially, that the Ten Commandments are a burden to be avoided or cast off or violated, that gives us insight into what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower. And this is the connection I want to make. Excuse me. The parable of the sower is good seed, bad soil. We know this story very well. There's different kinds of bad soil. There's one kind of good soil, and that's the kind of soil that gives space to the seed. And anything that doesn't give the proper respect to the seed of the word is bad soil, something wrong, some interference. So the Ten Commandments are good seed, word of God, planted in our hearts and then planted in our minds, because God knew that the natural moral law, as obvious as it is to any child, is also difficult and easy to resist, break, forget, distort. So that's why God saw it was necessary to put it on the tablets too. It's in your heart. But let's just get this clear, put on the tablets, and then there's making no mistake about the law of God. So that good seed is cast into all kinds of soil, into every human heart, and it doesn't take root in everybody in the same way. And this is why, because of the footpaths of our hearts, the rocky soil, the briars, the thorns. But the goal of God clearly is that we bear much fruit. The goal of God is not simply that we obey. The goal of God is that we share in his life. So the goal of the commandments is not simply that we don't sin. That's great. To not sin is a very important thing. But that's not why God created us, so that we don't sin. He created us so that we have fullness of life with him. Fullness of love, a communion with him. That's what the good soil produces when it welcomes the word. And that's what we're called to produce when we welcome the word. So we welcome the Ten Commandments. What a great gift. The whole law of God. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? Huh? Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. I mean, this beautiful Psalm 19 is an expression of our gratitude to God for the word. So with that gratitude, we can be good soil, even with our own confusion or empty-headedness or sin condition, we can become good soil. And we can bear much fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold.